The Baltimore City Council held its second meeting of the year last night, and it was another busy one, with new legislation introduced and the final passage of a bill that council members have been working on for months. WYPR's Emily Sullivan was there and is on the line to talk us through it all. And Emily, let's start with one of the new bills, one dealing with the rules for companies that get contracts with the city.
That's right. This bill would basically require Baltimore to abide by certain labor agreements for city contracts, as if all the contracts were on a collective bargaining agreement. It'd create pay and benefit standards like specific wages, health care, and workforce development opportunities for workers. Those would be for large taxpayer-funded projects, large meaning contracts over $25 million. Council President Brandon Scott and Councilwoman Shannon Sneed introduced that legislation. Here's Councilwoman Sneed.
We must ensure that residents, and I'll say it again, residents, have the opportunity to work on taxpayer-funded contracts. There are family-sustaining careers in the construction industry.
That's Sneed at a news conference before last night's meeting. She was flanked by union representatives from across the city. The bill has strong backing from them, including Baltimore's AFL-CIO. Here's Jermaine Jones, that group's president.
It's what a job provides a person with. It gives them that dignity. It gives them that pride. And when you want to talk about that self-esteem, exactly. And when you want to talk about making change in the city and having an impact on crime, it's providing those opportunities to everyday residents. And the unfortunate part is, it's not happening enough in Baltimore.
You know, it's important to note that local non-union contractors are opposed to this legislation. They say it could stifle the competition. You can expect people on both sides to testify at upcoming public hearings as the bill winds its way through the City Hall legislative process.
Another measure to wind its way through the process introduced in the council last night, this a charter amendment that would make a big change to the way the city works. Tell us about that.
Sure. The amendment would change the makeup of the Board of Estimates, the city spending board. Currently, the board is made up of five people, and together, they are the people who vote on who gets city contracts, you know, how Baltimore's money is spent. Those people are the city council president, the comptroller, the mayor, and the Department of Public Works director and city solicitor. Now, those last two, those are positions appointed by the mayor. And historically, they vote with the mayor, giving the mayor a kind of tacit majority. In light of former Mayor Catherine Pugh's self-dealing scandal, the BOE makeup has come under a lot of heat and scrutiny. So City Council President Brandon Scott introduced an amendment that would change the BOE structure to just the mayor, comptroller, and City Council President, all elected positions. Here's how Scott put it to me after last night's meeting.
I've committed since I was council president to doing everything we can do right now to have us get rid of structures that allow for corruption and modernize city government. And that's what this is about, making sure that there's accountability to the citizens of Baltimore for elected officials who were elected by them to represent them and determine how their taxpayer dollars are being spent.
Now, charter amendments do have to be voted upon by city residents. So if this amendment passes through City Hall, it won't show up on voters' ballots until this November.
And finally, I understand a bill that you have been covering for the last few months passed last night?
That's right. I've been talking about the Trauma Responsive Care Act since last summer, and it did indeed pass last night. The bill, which was introduced by City Councilman Zeke Cohen, basically tries to combat the effects of childhood trauma. In Baltimore, kids are traumatized more often than kids in the rest of the state, and we know that trauma leads to increased risks of substance abuse and isolation. So the bill is kind of an all-hands-on-deck response to this. It makes certain agencies that are present in kids' lives, like Rec and Parks, train staff on trauma. It would also require city agencies to deliver progress reports to a task force made up of stakeholders throughout the city. And now the bill's been sent to Mayor Jack Young's desk to be signed into law, and it's expected he'll put his signature on it.
Emily Sullivan covers Baltimore City Hall and other things for WYPR. Thanks for keeping us up to date.
Thanks, Nathan.